This podcast is brought to you by Podbean. Podbean is the easiest way to create your own podcast. We use Podbean to host the Old Man's Podcast here, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Download the free Podbean podcast app to start recording and publishing your very own podcast in minutes. Podbean provides everything you need to run your podcast, and you can record and publish episodes directly from the app on your phone. Download the free Pod app today. That's P-O-D-B-E-A-N. Head on over to Podbean at www.podbean.com and use the code PODCAST21. That's all capitalized, PODCAST21, for your first 30 days of podcast hosting for free. Check them out.
Bienvenidos al Old Man's Podcast, el podcast del viejo. Nos puedes escuchar en la app de Podbean Podcast, en Apple y Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music y muchos otros lugares. Si nos quieres escuchar en vivo, nuestro show se transmite de lunes a viernes a las 8 a.m., tiempo del centro.
Good afternoon and good evening to all our listeners and friends and followers throughout the world. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host, the Old Man. And with me is the Captain and Sergeant at Arms, Eric Kurt from Georgia. How you doing, Eric?
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Underground Shuffle, Shannon, Mom Fair, Tracy, Candy J. Let's see who else is here. Lex. Anybody else we might have missed? Good to have you here.
Yes, good. I never know what to say because of the time zone. Good day, everybody. Good day. We have our professor with us, Rhonda.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Hey, Rich. How you doing, buddy? Shonda, good to have you. I want to welcome everybody. Welcome everybody from the States. We've got a lot of listeners throughout the States. We got people listening to us from Oregon, South Carolina, Washington, D.C., Louisiana, Iowa, New York, and Michigan. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show. And to our fellow listeners and followers throughout the world, all our people from Canada, Australia, UK, Brazil.
Welcome, Ralph.
Jamaica, Ireland, and Norway. Good to see everybody. Welcome. Welcome aboard. And, man, and Arizona. And Arizona. Yes, indeed. Arizona's represented.
Welcome, Jesse.
Oh, man. Good to see everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Let's get this thing going. Hey, want to remind everybody, we got some good things coming up this week. Don't forget, and Eric's going to tell us a little bit about it later on in the show. But we do have the trivia for January kicking off. And like I said, Eric will tell us more about that later in the show. And yeah, it's just good times. Good times. Exciting. This January 9th, 2023. What can I say? Good things are happening, people. Good things are happening. Yeah, buddy. Shannon, if you want to call and get on the panel, you can. You say you can't wait for this topic right up your alley. Well, here you go. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence today, and I am neither artificial nor intelligent. That's why we have the professor in the house, Shonda Sinclair.
Well, definitely not a professor of AI, but...
That's our we have given her the honorary title of professor. That came the first time we had her on the show. First time we had her on the show, and she started talking.
Welcome, Stephanie.
Oh no,
That's the professor right there. That's the professor right there. No, good times. Good times are going on, and we're just glad everybody's here. Man, bam. And we got Miss Shannon Lynn Jordans on the panel, too. And I'm sure Russ will be probably joining us on the panel when he comes in, because he likes to talk about this. Is that the music is louder than you? Really? My music was louder? Day. Well, I don't know what's going on with that. Anyway, she's the professor and you're the skipper. No, I'm not. No, we went down that route already. And no, I'm not the professor.
Skipper.
I mean, I'm not the skipper. No, I'm not. I'm just the cabin boy. No, I'm just the cabin boy. Good to see everybody. So
oh, thank you, Ralph. That's good to know. He says my mic sounds good today.
Great. How do I sound, Ralph?
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
Me. The pool boy. Shonda, before we get going on this, where are you at? Do you mind sharing with us where you're at?
I am in the sunny state of Arizona.
Whoa! There
on
you
location.
Go. I saw you, and you shared pictures with me of the London Bridge. The London Bridge that is in Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
And it's been in Lake Havasu for, I think, since the 80s. Is that when it went over?
It opened in October of 1971. They started. So for people who don't know, Lake Havasu City, Arizona, has the London Bridge. And there have been several iterations of the London Bridge in London, England. And in 1967, I think, somebody named something McCulloch, and I forget his first name, bought the London Bridge that they were dismantling or had already dismantled because they were replacing it in London, England. They took it apart piece by piece, and there are 10,000 some odd pieces, and they numbered each one. Wow. And they literally have numbers written on the blocks of stone. And so he bought it for, I think, $2.4 million. It cost him $4 or $5 million to have it shipped to Arizona. And they put it back together piece by piece in Lake Havasu, which wasn't a lake at the time. I don't know all about Lake Havasu, but Colorado River runs through, and they built the bridge on dry land, and they dug a channel after the fact from the river so that the water would come in under this bridge and make a water area for shops and gathering and tourist attraction.
Rich refers to it as also known as the world's biggest puzzle. Yeah. Hey, but now, Shonda, remember I mentioned to you that because I was living in Arizona. As a matter of fact, I was in high school, graduating in 1971 when that thing was all that was going on. Now, I heard there was a thing going around saying that the guy that bought it actually thought he was buying the Tower Bridge. And when he found out he got the London Bridge and not the Tower Bridge, he was kind of disappointed. Now, did you see or hear? Is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, he debunked that. After you told me that, I went looking, and
I knew you would.
He asserted that he knew exactly what he was buying, and he said he did not think he was buying the Tower Bridge. But until you told me that, I didn't realize that people had actually ever gotten them mixed up. And that is a thing. People did mix up the London Bridge and the Tower Bridge because they were situated near each other, and they were both London bridges. But supposedly he did not make that mistake. But if you were a multimillionaire tycoon and you did make that mistake, would you admit it? I don't know.
No, I wouldn't. But then on the same token, if I had that kind of money, I would dang sure make sure I'm buying what I want.
Right. And you'd think if he was that successful and had that much money, I mean, he threw $20 million at this thing when it was all said and done. You'd think that someone who's in that level of functioning would know what they were buying, I would think.
Yes, exactly. I think it makes just for, I think it makes for a great story for that. And sure. When we lived in England, we brought our youngest child, Roselle, which is Grammy's daughter, brought her to England. Now, they're on the River Thames. I believe it's the River Thames that runs through
the
London.
Thames, yes.
They're on the river. They're taking a boat tour, you know, and the guy's pointing out all this stuff. And they get to the Tower Bridge, and he goes, now, this is the bridge everybody refers to as the London Bridge. It is not the London Bridge. This is the Tower Bridge. The London Bridge is in Lake Havasu, Arizona. You know, I don't know. But yeah, so apparently tourists still get the things confused. But anyway, there you go. A little bit of history.
Yeah, so the London Bridge that's in Arizona now was built originally in the 1830s, and it lasted until they sold it off in 1967. He got it over here in 1968. They started building here in 68, took them 3 years to get it open. What I had read, though, about the history of the London Bridge was that it had lasted for 600 years. And in fact, the bridge that was dismantled for this new one that was built in 1830, that bridge had stood in London, England for 600 years. And I don't know what happened to that one, but this one is the one that does not have 600 years of history. It has 100 and whatever, almost 200 years now.
Marley wants to know, is that where the song comes from? London Bridge is falling down. I have no idea.
It could very well be because Romans built bridge supposedly over the Thames in wooden structure first, and it had a couple of different wooden structures because it came down. I don't know if it fell down or they knocked it down, but it had a couple of different wooden iterations, and then the stone one that lasted 600 years, and then the next one that lasted 100 and some years. Who knows?
I don't know. So it's pronounced Thames. The River Thames?
Thames.
Thames.
Kind of like a short E.
Okay. I was saying times. I don't know. I don't know what I was saying, but it wasn't right. I'm sure it wasn't right. anyway, well, I hope you enjoy the warm weather in Arizona. There's a big high section of weather sitting over the state. And so it should be kind of nice there for you. It is miserable here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I got out just in time.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Well, you know what's interesting? As I was passing through California, I just made it through before the flooding happened. We take, you know, the I-5 and then the 99 down. And just as we passed through Sacramento, I think the very next day, well, it rained. It actually rained on us the entire way. But the very next day was the day that they had flooding that stopped people in their cars on the Highway 99. And people had to be rescued from that area because their cars couldn't go any further on the freeway.
Rich, you're cracking me up. Dreadnought 92N. Big Rich says, and they're talking about Meghan Markle when they say, take the keys and lock her up. Lock her up. Oh, Rich. Well, anyway, Shonda, we're glad that you're there. Now, you're going to be there for a while, right, in Arizona?
Yes, we'll be here for a couple of months.
Okay, well, we're glad you got there and you got there safe, and we're glad about that. Hey, let me first, Eric, how was your weekend, buddy? How was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
No, my weekend was good, as usual. Good. Nothing too spectacular, though.
All right. Shannon, how was your weekend? We had our chief navigators. We got the whole staff with us today. Shannon, how was your weekend, sweetie?
I'm actually been really busy, actually. I'm going to be creating a new podcast by myself, a pre-recorded stuff, and nice. Getting away from the conspiracy stuff and going to dabble into true crime.
Nice.
So, yeah. So it's all going to be pre-recorded. So I've been having fun with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, this is where we need to get you, get your promotions going for that and get the word out.
Yeah. I'm almost done with the first episode. I'm excited. Yeah.
True
crime
is
a very popular topic.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I can help more people than spreading fear with the conspiracy stuff. Now, whether, you know, they're true, but it still kind of incites fear. So I'd rather go the helpful way. you know, maybe help find missing persons and so on, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. Yeah. Grammy asked me, she goes, have you heard from Shannon yet this weekend? Because it was last night. I go, no, I haven't. She goes, what'd you do? Did you make
sense? You know, I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, I haven't talked to Pops all weekend.
That's okay. That's okay. And we got Russ Brown. We got Russ Brown from the Russ Brown Orchestra. He's on the line. Russ, how was your weekend, buddy?
Yeah, it was good, man. Yeah, it was normal weekend.
Normal? Okay. Hey, sorry about those hurricanes, man.
Yeah, you know, you cursed them.
When it rains, it pours.
Yeah, but I want to thank everybody for coming on. This is a fortunate thing for us. It's good because everybody's interested on this topic that we're going to talk about today, artificial intelligence. And we have the whole Old Man's Podcast co-hosting crew with us. We've got Eric, Shonda, Shannon, and Russ. You can hear Shannon on Wednesdays, and Russ is with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then, of course, Shonda's with us on Mondays. How we came up on this artificial intelligence thing is I was listening to Russ. He was talking about artificial intelligence on a couple of shows. Ralph William, he was talking about artificial intelligence on his show, and then we kind of mentioned it a little bit on our show, and then Shonda, you said, boy, that's a subject I'd like to get into, but not now because it was towards the end of the show. So I thought, well, let's do it. Let's dabble our little toes. Let's dip our little toes into the deep end of the pool on artificial intelligence. And I found a little thing I'd like to read before we get started on this. Artificial intelligence explained. Bum, bum, bum. Artificial intelligence is the computer simulation of human intelligence. It's programming one or more machines to act in a way that mimics or replicates human behavior. AI breakthroughs are tied to computer science and programming languages, and applications of AI are scalable to simplify workflows across various industries. Depending on the AI program or software used, it can more or less act similarly to someone doing the same task when viewed from outside as an observer. In general, AI is about creating software that is smart enough to do complex tasks without excessive human intervention or direction. Indeed, AI researchers want to program computers to rationalize and think semi-independently. In this way, AI computers and software will likely be able to solve problems faster and better than humans can. Artificial intelligence is closely connected to machine learning models, a technology that allows machines and computer programs to learn from and adapt the data without human assistance. For example, a software program could be created in theory to run several tests, take the results from those tests, and come to conclusions or better processes without a human having or interfere with or direct it. Artificial intelligence is not about building anything you may have seen in science fiction stories like killer robots, war machines, or similar constructions. Rather, it is usually about maximizing efficiency, productivity, and profit. That's what they want you to believe.
Exactly.
Most AI research and AI development focus on use cases in the financial, business, supply chain, cybersecurity, and health industries. Yeah, that's what they want you to believe. Yeah,
exactly. But there are true dangers of AI programs. It is limited and too easily hackable, and it also is in control by the person who inputs that data to train the AI program. And is now AIs from everywhere, from screening job candidates to diagnosing disease and identifying criminal suspects. But instead of making the decisions more efficient and fair, they're perpetuating the biases of humans who are training these AI. So if you've got some kind of rogue, secret kind of evil person, I mean, they were making all kinds of these AI dolls that were turning into Nazis. I mean, they were extreme racist, and it just goes towards whoever puts that input in there, turns into that, and it does learn from itself. Well, learns from the internet.
Right.
So it is very dangerous.
So, Shonda, thanks, Shannon. And so, Shonda, I'm of the school with Elon Musk. Elon Musk has come out and publicly said, AI, artificial intelligence, will be the downfall of humanity.
I agree.
From the guy who wants to implant AI into humans and hybridize humans?
Yeah.
Seriously? Now he says it's the downfall?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. You're right, Shonda.
No,
he was the one who actually came out with the AI.
I don't trust him any further than I could.
Then you do
agree.
Or any of those other guys. Yeah.
Well, he does say he's an alien, so.
So what say you, Shonda? What's going on?
Well, I think it's interesting. So I was looking at the history of AI, and a person wrote, in 1950, there was a publication by Alan Turing called Computing Machinery and Intelligence. And the question that that paper asked was, can machines think? And from there, you know, they did this thing called the Turing test, where a human interrogator tried to distinguish between a computer and a human text response. And the test has undergone scrutiny since the publication, but it remains an important part of history, according to this paper. And from there, they've just pushed the envelope, pushed the envelope, pushed the envelope. So I think it can be valuable, the things that AI can do. You know, everybody knows the Roomba, the vacuum. Yeah. It turns on when you tell it to. You can program your little Roomba vacuum with your phone, and it can go and clean your house. And I have a family member who has it scheduled three times a week, an hour and a half at a time, while they're gone to work, and they come home and the place is all vacuumed and clean. So there are helpful ways that this can be used. But like Shannon points out, depending on who's programming it, there can be very dangerous uses as well. And the thing that is, I think, a huge problem is AI does not have common sense. And some humans don't necessarily these days either. But for sure, at least we have the ability to use sensible reasoning. And computers, that's something that they can never be taught. I'm really not for it.
I'm not either. And I'll tell you another thing that me is for like Shannon brought out. I mean, it's only that stuff to me. And this is just my humble opinion. And I am no way a computer person. Just ask my son. He's in the chat. He'll tell you. But I or anybody else that's listening to this show, I am not a computer person. And I just believe that they are only. It's only as smart as it's programmed. I mean, that's what computers are. Computers only do what they're programmed. And you can't program spontaneous.
If you connect the AI to the internet and not just a centralized network, I believe AI would be able to use logic and reasoning over common sense, what humans would call common sense. They would be able to use logic and reasoning, and they'd have the access to knowledge instantaneously, where it'd take humans years to learn something. It'd take them milliseconds.
But their intelligence
would be over ours.
They would only be using the logic and reasoning that humans put into a database to explain what logic and reasoning is.
Right, but
exactly.
If it is hackable. If you put them on the internet, though, then they have the knowledge and all the information that all humans have ever gathered, and not just what you're programming at that point.
Well, there's a terrible movie called...
They have access to all knowledge.
Yeah, there's a terrible movie. I call it terrible because it was pretty terrible. I mean, a good movie, terrible content, called Ex Machina. I don't know if anybody's seen it. it is about that topic. It is a computer that has complete control of the internet and can monitor the internet in real time. And it takes over in a certain way, in a certain location. And the movie is all about what happens when it does that and people die. I'm actually writing a story about some AI gone wrong. So, nice. I mean, it's a big topic. But one of the interesting things I found is in the reading realm, in the fiction and author realm, AI, you can now have AI read your audiobook. And some of the voices, I sent the old man a link, some of the voices are so well read and executed that you really almost can't tell the difference.
Yeah, because it's they read with feeling. I mean, this is a computer reading to you, and it's not going, indeed, AI researchers want to program computers to rationalize. It's not doing that. It's going, indeed, AI researchers want to program computers to rationalize. I mean, it's reading with feelings, and that to me is just too spooky.
Yeah, that's the issue. Once you create a computer that can rationalize and write its own algorithms, you lose control over its programming, and you lose control over what
yes.
you can do.
Very correct.
Yes, that's correct, except for one thing, Russ. Except for one thing, and we need to hold on to this as humanity. Except for one thing, we can unplug it. Yeah, baby.
Well, that's the thing. Once you create an AI that's like a true AI, it'd be a self-sustaining battery system, right? It would create a way to override.
It wouldn't be nuclear. It wouldn't last forever.
No, I mean,
it would have to be
charged. There's batteries that that NASA uses that last 2,000 years. So, I mean, it wouldn't have to last forever.
All you gotta do is unplug it.
It'd outlast all of us. And,
yeah, but I got to just get in there and unplug it.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. There wouldn't be any plug system to it. A true AI, you'd have it as a self-sustaining, solar-powered kind of battery system to where it recharges itself naturally. But
and I was thinking about those.
It overwrite its own kill switch. It learns how to write its own algorithm, it overwrite its own kill switch, and you wouldn't be able to just terminate it, cut it off.
And especially if it was networked with other AI robots, and such as life imitating art, Rise Against the Machines. I mean, if there was a whole network of them, and they started to go against human civilization. I mean, it would be a problem for sure. They would do damage before they could unplug it.
Shep, we got a line open. Shep, you want to call in?
When I look at AI and the true nature of AI, as corny as it would seem, I would look at Star Trek and Data, the android they have on Star Trek. That would be like a sentient AI, and I think that's what everybody's scared of.
If you have AI
building burgers, nobody cares, But once AI is able to be sentient, that's a problem.
I mean, that's a proven. I'm glad you brought that up, Russ, because the McDonald's that they're doing a testing now that's employee-less out of Dallas. Now there's a woman suing for $20 million because the AI program started telling her to go to Chick-fil-A and started slurring racial slurs to her. So it already went bad.
Because somebody hacked it, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, in theory, it's cool, the data thing, right? Everybody in the 50s, 60s, 70s even wanted to come up on the day when we'd have a George Jetson kind of robot that would do our chores and, bring us our breakfast and our whatever. But the reality ends up being creepy, and it takes jobs from people. McDonald's is trying to get rid of all of the jobs, right? Because they're going to totally mechanize, and there'll just be jobs for programmers. The only jobs that will be left will be the people who know how to manage and program the AI.
So I got a question about that, though. Is it really necessarily a bad thing to create a system where menial labor tasks are done by robots, which creates the opening for artists and creative thinkers to explore new avenues of employment, for humanity to enter into a new level of intelligence even by having our menial labor jobs done by AI?
I think that's a loaded question because there are varying levels of abilities, skills, and intelligence in humans. And when you take away some of the jobs that certain people can do and are very well suited for, then what are those people going to do for a living? How are they going to meaningfully?
Well, I mean, that's the way society's been sculpted. But once you change the narrative of society, you sculpt it in a different way. People that are would do menial jobs and maybe not have a higher education would have the ability to maybe be artists or other things, you know, or programmers or other things that maybe wouldn't take a high level in math, say, for instance, but could still be done by somebody, you know, like, because if you get a brick mason, that dude's an artist, whether he realizes it or not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's an artist. Yeah. So.
But now,
well, and I wasn't saying that those people aren't intelligent. I was just saying that some people are more suited to certain things, and actually some people prefer to do those kinds of things. I know someone who likes to do janitorial, and they're extremely bright and intelligent, but they like to do the janitorial work. It's what they enjoy. Yeah, I mean, there are people who, for whatever the reason is, they enjoy the manual labor or the menial, what we would call menial tasks. So I think it's fine to have that ability for AI to do, but I don't think it's a good thing when we replace humans in any specific sector.
Well, see, I remember in my industry.
Now you're going to depopulation.
I remember in my industry, which
different
was
podcast.
Which was quality control, quality insurance.
One. Yes.
They always talked about because the CNC, the computerized machines come in. Everything's turned into computers. They're machining the parts now. All you have is a programmer. He programs the machine. You throw the raw casting into the machine, hit the go button, and bing, bang, boom, you got a machined product. And everybody's saying, computers are going to take over everything. And I used to say, yeah, everything but inspecting. They're never going to have a computer that's going to be able to inspect something. And they go, oh, sure they can. They got a computer that it can tell you if everything's within its tolerance in that. And I go, well, that might be true. But the one thing computers will never be able to do is make that gut feeling decision. I mean, we used to make those decisions all the time in my field of work. You know, yeah, you've got something and it's slightly out of tolerance, but you know it's going to work, you know. And so, you know, your gut tells you it's okay, send it, it's going to work. But see, a computer's never going to have that gut instinct, you know, that spontaneous gut thing where you go, that'll be, or nah, that's not right, that's not going to work. Now, I always use this as an example. Because they talk about the chess programs, you know, where you can play chess against your computer. Well, that's a form of AI. The computer, now this program, this chess program, has had every possible conceivable move programmed into it. So once you make a move, the computer thinks and runs through all these thousands and thousands of scenarios, and then it makes its move. And as the game progresses, the computer is judging everything on how you move. Okay, I understand that. That's why it's almost impossible to beat a computer at chess. Except I've done it. I've beaten a chess program several times. And how I did it was I started going, okay, this thing knows by how I move, it can figure out, you know, what my next move is going to be. Mathematically, it can figure out the odds and all this and that I'm going to do this. And with all the programming it's got, what if I just be crazy? What if I just play crazy? There's no rhyme or reason to anything that I'm doing. And I did this in front of Grammy. I go, watch. And I started playing this computer. And it got to the point where during the game, the computer was actually taken a real long time to make its next move because I had confused it so much. And how did I confuse a computer? Because I had a gut feeling and just went crazy. I had no rhyme or reason. See, a computer can't do that. A computer can only work, in my humble opinion, a computer can only work it according to how it's programmed. So I don't care how sophisticated it gets, you know, it's only still going to be based on the pool of knowledge that it has to draw from. And I agree with what you were saying, Russ, about if it has the entire internet to draw from, yeah, it's going to be pretty smart because it has that vast ocean of information that it's drawing from. But it will never have intuition or that gut feeling or be able to act spontaneous.
That's not something you can teach. It's something you're born with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I say.
Exactly. And so say they also have access to all that disinformation too. So.
Yeah. So hey, we have Mr. Ralph Williams on the line. Ralph, you got anything you want to input in this? How you doing, buddy?
Am I coming in okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay.
My computer's saying you got an okay.
Okay. I mean, there's several things that I find. I mean, I like technology. I'm sometimes a little skeptical of it, but I mean, if it can help people, that's good. The one thing that because we're doing podcasting, the one thing that I find interesting, I don't know if this is AI or like augmentation, but I see these novelty programs where you can use celebrity voices, you know, to mask your voice or to record, you know, whatever you wanted to say. To you can make it sound like Elon Musk or former President Trump or whatever it is. And a lot of them, a lot of them is kind of like, I don't want to say it could take over like podcasting in general. I mean, since we are doing podcasts, I might as well integrate that into it. Maybe when you're using computers, there's a way to like really get an identity marker with like the voices. But then again, if anybody can just take your own voice and make it into its own, I don't have the proper lingo, but like use your voice to use it for like another program, like another, like take it and put it into like a database of people's voices and then use that to either, I don't know, frame you or make a podcast.
Yes. Yes. That is a very scary thought. They only need 1 minute of your voice and they can recreate your voice. Can you imagine I'm so glad it's out in the open though, because they can tell in a court of law that it was altered, but it will take a lot of research and doing and discover.
Yeah. Only if discovery uncovers it.
Imagine how these podcasters, you know, the nefarious ones, the trolls could use that against you. It's like, oh, Shannon was on that podcast and she was saying some really awful things about you when it really wasn't me. Yeah. I've gone into podcasting. I was already on the panel. It's like, what? You know, well,
it's like, all of a sudden Shonda's getting a phone call. Hey, Shonda, it's the old man here. Hey, blah, blah, blah. And it's not. It's not.
Right.
Right. So that gets into deep fake technology, which can take us into the other podcaster realm, right? For the other kinds of podcasts. But that's really scary. And when you get into deep fake technology, then you also trigger intellectual property rights and potential lawsuits, because someone's using your voice, you can sue them, but you have to know they're doing it and you have to be able to afford the lawsuit. And right. Also,
I'm really hoping that technology is regulated. I mean, because that could get out of hand.
Okay, so then we have need for more regulation.
Yeah.
Then we become a more regulated population, and that's I definitely
yeah.
Do not
but there's
want
more dangers
of
that. The dangers of people unless being able to use your voice in anything. You know, I mean.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Ralph?
I'm just saying, unless there's a way for like scientists or whatever, or technological people to figure out like what is the marker to differentiate a human voice to an augmented human voice, right? Like if there's a marker that lets them know, all right, this is the authentic one compared to non-authentic. That's plus.
Yeah, like you put a watermark on some, you put a watermark on something that you don't want duplicated or made copies of. You put a watermark on it so you know if you've got a copy or the original. Yeah, there's got there'd have to be a way to be able to do that with voices and that. But I you know, this is just opening up, you know, that would just open up a can of worms. I mean, people being able to do that. And I, you know, I went through this list that Shonda sent me yesterday of these voices. Oh my gosh. I mean, you can get the British accent, Indian accent, Mexican accent, you know, I mean, you can get all these different accents and you're listening and you're thinking you're listening to people talking. No, it's the computer talking.
Let me see if I can play a little bit of it.
It didn't sound AI-ish. Did it sound like real human voices?
I'm going to see if I can get it to
Ooh, play. Send me that.
They still can't capture the Southern redneck voice.
Make some funny things with that.
They always make it sound retarded.
Okay, let's see if I can.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead, Jim. Shonda, go ahead. Welcome, D-Mac.
I'm going to get the sound on.
Get recipe for Mina. I asked the waiter, and he said it was called paprika hendel, and that, as it was a national dish, I should be able to get it anywhere along the Carpathians. I found my smattering of German very useful here. Indeed, I don't know how I should be able to get on without it. Having had some time at my disposal when in London, I had visited the British Museum and made search among the books and maps in the library regarding Transylvania. It had struck me that some foreknowledge of the country could hardly fail to have some importance in dealing with a nobleman of that country.
Could you hear it?
Yeah. Yeah, I could. Yeah. Could everybody else hear that? Could you hear that?
Yeah.
It sounds like
it sounded pretty real.
I mean, occasionally you hear a little word that might be off in pronunciation, but this is Bram Stoker's Dracula that Google Play Books has narrated the entire book in what they call auto narration. And if you are an author and you have a Google Play author account with them, you can actually have your books auto narrated with any one of these. I don't remember how many characters there are, but close to 20, I think. And this one, I think, was the most real sounding as far as all of the intonations. But if I were listening to that audiobook and I didn't know it was Google narrated, I probably wouldn't have known.
Right, right. You know, how close do you listen to something coming to you? Now, I've received robot calls. You know, I've received robot calls and I'll answer it, hello. And then it's all triggered on how you respond. You know, I pick up the phone, hello. Hi, this is Jack, you know, and I'm calling from such and such. How are you doing today? And it's like, I get really quiet. It's like, I don't know any Jack and I don't know those companies. So if I get really quiet, you know, then the computer doesn't know how to respond or it sends a different response. Oh, okay. I didn't quite catch that. What were you saying? I'm going, you stinking computer, you know?
Yeah.
And then I start yelling at it. And then I start yelling at it. And the next thing you know, the computer's going, I'll be back, you know, and it's like.
I did a kind of a prank one time on my roommate and the voice was so real sounding. It did like ring, ring, ring. He answered the phone. It's like, yeah, I'm calling you because I found you were Snapchatting my girl. And so then it paused, waited for him to respond. He's like, I ain't Snapchatting your girl. Oh, yes, you are. I'm going to come over there and beat that ball out of you. And he started arguing with the AI voice, and I'm just in my bedroom just laughing away. And he finally caught on. But for a long while, it was like he was having a fake conversation with this with this AI voice. It was
so
funny.
And this AI stuff, I mean... You know, they say, oh, you know, we're just most AI research and AI development focuses on use cases in the financial business. Well, that's scary. Supply chain, that's scary. Cybersecurity, that's scary. And healthcare industries. I mean, we should be concerned about all those things. But when it says that artificial intelligence is not about building anything you may have seen in sci-fi stories like killer robots, that is not true. I've seen videos of videos of robots that have guns mounted to them, you know, and they're
making
you know,
armies of them,
those robot dogs, you know, and they're programmed to fire and shoot at things. And plus, you take this artificial intelligence and you throw it into a drone. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Now you're really opening up the thing. You know, you got a drone. Well,
right, and you know the DARPA dogs are pretty scary.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I believe there's also an AI program that I think they're called Aladdin. I think it's the name of the company.
Yeah, BlackRock.
That they use to invest.
Yeah.
But they don't need you don't need human brokers anymore. They just do it for you, or they just do it themselves.
Yep. It's almost like they're a step ahead of the stock market, you know?
Almost. So I'm sure you've all heard of Sophia, I think her name is, the artificial intelligence sentient robot being that has citizenship now, human citizenship in Saudi Arabia.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't recall reading anything about that.
I've seen it.
I saw a video.
Okay. So she has become a women's rights activist in Saudi Arabia.
Wow! Out of all things,
and she's not a person.
Morning, yelling crazy lady.
What is going on with that?
Well, so I have an article about her being an activist, but let me pull up the article about how she got citizenship.
Sure, do it.
It's been a few years. I can't remember exactly when that happened, but
they also gave dolphins citizenship there in India too. Yeah.
2017. Yeah, it's been longer than I remembered. So, Sophia is a humanoid robot who has been widely covered by the global media. In October 2017, Sophia made headlines around the world after she was granted Saudi Arabian citizenship ahead of the Future Investment Initiative, which I don't know what that is, but I'm sure we can look that up, and it's probably not great. This move by Saudi Arabia was in line with the kingdom's recent attempts to be seen as a technologically advanced nation. Though no details regarding her citizenship were provided, the audiences got a chance to interact with the humanoid robot and judge for themselves if the idea of humans and robots enjoying a symbiotic relationship could indeed be a reality. In this video, we tell you everything you need to know about the first robot in the world who has attained citizenship.
Wow.
So, crazy. You know, I mean, I personally think that's the wrong way to go. But, you know, that opens up another large can of worms, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there is a avenue of getting all this computerized artificial intelligence and that into everybody's homes and all, and you know, and it has to do with you know, like we've seen it in movies, you know, where people get servants and get people into their homes and servants, and in the sex industry, I'm just going to say,
yes,
in the sex industry. Now, I've always said this: if you want to eliminate a large portion of the population at one big whack and one big time, all you got to do is figure out a way to kill everybody through the sex industry. Because, you know, let's face it, the majority of the people were sex crazed. Everybody's focuses on sex and all this and that. Look at Viagra. You want to kill off half the men? Say you've got a pill for ED, and you'll kill off half the men because they'll take it, you know? And I mean, you can do it. And they're making these robot sex toys and all this and that.
The Ex Machina movie goes into that a bit.
You know, I mean, that's the easiest way to kill everybody. Anything, convince them that it will increase their libido, give them that drive of a 18-year-old, you know, yeah, and they'll be stupid enough to take it and die. I'm serious. I mean, we are so fickle.
Can I get
as humans.
That number?
Well, you know, you get the good parts, right? I mean, there are really good things that technology has done for us. I'm able to be in Arizona right now because I work remotely, and I couldn't do that without modern technology and the internet allowing me to connect to whatever computer I need to connect to do my job from wherever I happen to be. And, you know, I'm very thankful that we have that. But I think the problem happens when we take those modern conveniences and assistive technologies and we give them this artificial intelligence and we start teaching them to teach themselves, and then we start giving them citizenship and we replace humans with them. That is where we have a problem. We should use them to help ourselves, to do the things that we can do, like free us up for what Russ was talking about, more artistic endeavors. Wouldn't it be nice if I could automate the job that I do so that I could spend my day writing the fiction that I want to write? Those are kinds of things that, yes, maybe we could utilize. But when we let them take over, or when we let people and agencies like DARPA start using them against humans, then we have a problem.
But how do you justify the payment, though? I don't understand. Like, you say...
Ralph, you're a little light. You're lighter than the rest of us, and I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay. Can you be a little louder, Ralph? Say that again.
No, I don't know if it's any better now.
That's a little better.
And I was just saying, how do they justify payments of, getting rid of menial labor and freeing up time, you know, to do your other activities? That's what I was just trying to figure out.
Well, that's the question. If they do that, then you don't get the salary anymore. But wouldn't it be nice if you were in charge of a particular something and you manage the computerized assistive technology that helps you do that job, and you still get paid your salary because you're the one still producing the work, but perhaps you can do it faster. You get a salary instead of an hourly rate, but you get a salary that is commensurate with, you know, what you're currently making. You can make the work happen in a shorter amount of time. You are still valuable because you're the one who knows how to do the work, and you have maybe a few more hours a day to do something that's, you know, something else. I know that gets into a whole question of who should be paying whom for what, and that opens another can of worms.
But see, I don't see a problem with devising AI, you know, to do the work of people with lives. I mean, their lives are at, you know, a grave danger when they do the jobs, you know, health reasons and that kind of stuff. Oh, thanks for stopping by, Ralph. Ralph had to drop off. But like, say, take, for example, mining, coal mining, down in the depths of the earth, mining. I don't have a problem with AI doing that kind of stuff. You know, you have a mine collapse, and what do you lose? You lose machines. You don't lose people.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have the black lung, you know, the health issues and all this and that.
They don't come in hungover. Yeah. In 2019, they did a study. 36 million jobs could be at high risk of AI automation in the coming years. Right. 36 million.
Well, I know someone who runs, who is an IT person and who oversees a mine, and they do a lot of the mine observation and safety surveillance with, I wouldn't call it AI, but with assistive technology and with cameras. And so the IT people can monitor what is happening at the mine and the safety of the mine. And they can use sensors to know if the air inside is, you know, unhealthy. The interesting thing is there always still has to be a human that can go in and fix the IT technology. And so that person sometimes has to go way down deep in that mine to fix whatever thing is going wrong.
There's always a human to be relied on. Yeah, go ahead.
Then you just create a robot
to relay Wi-Fi down there, and what, Russ?
Russ says you create a robot.
Yeah, you create robots. But this is what I was going to bring up. I think if we created AI in the right way, it would help us advance like space travel and all that stuff in a way that humans maybe not be able to figure out. Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I totally agree with you. The problem
and medical advancements that AI would be able to figure out if they had complete access to, like, say, the internet and were able to sift through all the knowledge out there, there'd be diseases and stuff they'd be able to cure.
They're going to be able to use one drop of your blood and put it in through this AI computer program to diagnose you with anything. So you're talking about doctors are definitely at risk.
But then do you trust their supposed cure? I personally am more into natural law. And I would hope that there are enough people are as well that would not allow that to advance. Or if it did advance, that there's a segment of the population that can opt out. You know, I don't want your AI doctors telling me anything.
I don't either.
I want my life to take its natural turn. And I don't want interference like that. And I don't want to have to know whether I can trust what the AI is doing to me. Yeah. So, no, that would be a hard no for me.
I like a comment Rich brings up in the chat. He says, if you take away the toil of life, your art becomes irrelevant. I agree with that. I mean, if you take the toil of life away from someone, then take, for example, blues. Blues then isn't no longer blues. I mean, you got the reason blues is so powerful is because they've lived that life. But if you take that hard life away from them, and then plus two,
I feel like people would still find ways to complain. And find ways to have miserable lives. Yeah, I really do.
Shep says the supermarket I shop at is a Stop and Shop, and they have a robot that roams the store looking for things to be cleaned up or products that fall to the floor or are placed in the wrong spot. That's interesting. I've seen recently also restaurants. There's a restaurant chain that is utilizing a robot that goes and picks up the food. Well, you have to load the trays. A human has to put the food on the trays of this robot. But the robot shuttles the food from kitchen to the designated table and serves the food.
Yeah, Shep says it can't clean or restock, but it taps into the PA system to let the employees know. And if you're walking towards it and it towards you, it will stop for you. So yeah, it's just a big glorified what is that, rumba, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that robot named Rosie?
I asked you with the medical thing, if they were able to program nanotechnology with AI and they were able to stop your lung cancer, you wouldn't let them stop your lung cancer with that?
No, because they could also stop
That's
your lungs.
That's a whole
lungs.
Other podcast, and you know I have. They I could talk for days on that.
No I could too, but I generally don't publicly.
No telling what else that nanotechnology program to do when it once it gets inside you.
Great.
Right. What if it wants you to stop breathing altogether? It can just decide to stop your lungs, to stop your heart, to stop whatever. I mean, no, I don't, because you know what? I don't trust the humans that would be programming that intelligence.
Right. I can tell you one thing. If they do have a device inside of you with AI technology, it does have to be recharged unless, like Russ said, the battery from NASA. But another reason for the nanotechnology to be put into humans is it all together can create a magnetic field, which is if you can add that, it would bounce off and recharge the core device. So the nanotechnology that they're putting into humans is being used for all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. And nefarious reasons are
right up in there.
It's right up in there.
So Shep says
that if they had rewritten one of the core laws, which obviously would be to never harm humans, that's one thing. And then he says the robot in Stop and Shop is either as tall as he is or taller, which is interesting. Why would you need a 6-foot tall robot roaming the aisles of Stop and Shop? But
so it can see the top shelves.
Humans is interesting because they don't even take the Hippocratic oath in most medical facilities or when they're licensing doctors anymore. They don't do the Hippocratic oath. So there is no first do no harm anymore.
Oh, they don't have doctors say that oath anymore?
Or make some places still do. Many do not. If you Google that, they are getting away from the Hippocratic oath.
See, it's just... So actually, it's not so much, you know, what kind of trust do you have in the AI system, But what kind of trust do you have in the people programming that AI system?
Exactly.
See, that's where my trust, that's where my trust goes. It just goes out the window. I don't trust humans. Humans are inherited evil. We are evil. You know, we're greedy. We're evil. You know, we only think about ourselves. You know, and you get that guy's the guy that's programming your nanotechnology to go into you. It's gonna do a lot more than just take care of that little bit of lung cancer. You
that's
know.
So Jungian of you.
Well, you know, the little Pollyanna in me wants to say that humans are inherently good and some are just not.
Right.
I really want to believe that.
But now you're going Freudian.
But time and time again, humans prove that there is a whole lot of evil in them.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the almighty dollar. That's all they care about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the bottom line. Greed. Yep.
And control.
Greed.
I mean,
And control, yes.
Yeah.
Right, and so God, what better you. Way? What better way to get people to accept the ultimate dystopian control than to get everyone used to using this assistive technology, and it's great and helpful, and we all love it, and we really don't want to do without it, and then the clincher comes, and it's used to control completely.
Exactly.
It's a fine line, and if we allow the control to begin, then we're allowing the possibility of complete and total control.
See, and that's mm-hmm. what I'm getting at, because you don't know how deep the layers of programming go into something.
So I asked a question to you then. If you stifen and you put a level of where you're going, like where you stop, you know, and you're like, we can't program anything more than this, because, you know, and you don't take that leap, don't you stagnate growth as a civilization at that point?
Well, who says we always have to be pushing forward and quote unquote progressing? Who says that is required? What point can we just be happy being, hey, we've got what we need. We've got it working. Things are going along. Let's just go along on a level line.
I think science is just getting too far. Universal progression, though. I think everything progresses naturally.
Well, right, I do not think they should be able to read people's minds, and that's exactly what they're trying to do now, and they've already come up with the technology.
See,
so that is going too far.
Yeah. Along that lines of thinking is...
I think giving citizenship to a robot
sure
is going too far.
I'm not sure how much of your actual thoughts people can actually ever read.
But think
thoughts
of it
are
just,
spontaneous.
No, Russ, you need to do more research. They actually can read your mind now. They have that technology.
Think of it along the lines of, like you were talking about progression there, Shonda. Think about it like our government. You know, we have the legislative branch that's supposed to be making laws. You know, and it's like, how many more laws do you need to make? I mean, come on. I mean, they're always making laws. Make law, laws, laws.
Well, and like Shannon pointed out, she would say we need more regulation. Well, if we weren't pushing the envelope with these ridiculous things, I'm sorry, I used the word ridiculous. They're not all ridiculous. If we weren't pushing the envelope in certain ways, we wouldn't need the more regulation, because we wouldn't be pushing the envelope. But now we need laws to tell people you're not allowed to push the envelope, because if we didn't make a law, then they would be able to do whatever they want to others. That becomes ridiculous.
Yeah, we get caught up in this thing of water going, and then, you know, it's just going down the drain. You know, the what do they call that? The whirlpool, we get caught in this whirlpool where there's no way out. We're slowly going down the drain, and we go down the drain because of all this stuff. Well, I think that's how it is. I agree with you when it comes to this progress. How much more do you got to progress? I mean,
right.
I mean, you know, I mean, there are
things. That's what horse farmers were saying when the car was invented. Like, do we really need all this progression? You know what
See,
I mean?
I was gonna say,
right? But they didn't invade human. They didn't invade human sovereignty when they went from horse to car, because humans could choose to use it or not. It didn't drive itself. It didn't you know.
Well, you can't take the horse
and arguably
industry,
though,
you know what I mean?
Arguably though, it did take jobs away from some people because tractors replaced field workers. And so there, yeah, there's always been that discomfort when new innovations happen. And where the line is drawn, I don't know. I mean, you don't want to stop humans from thinking, and humans want to explore. It's a natural trait, but I don't know. I think it becomes too much when we're giving citizenship to technology.
Redneck Rambler says, who says that you have to use the technology? Well, yeah, until they pass laws saying that you have to, you right. know. No, but I agree with you. Who says you have to? That's why you can say no. I mean, look at the Amish. Look at the Amish and you know, the Mennonites and these people that aren't tapped into modern technology, and they're still functioning today. Yeah, I mean,
and you know what? A lot of people are kind of knee jerk wanting to go back to that because there is I think there's something to natural living, you know. And mm-hmm. DMAC points out that if we didn't have modern technology, we wouldn't be on this podcast right now, which is what I pointed out earlier. I think I'm very thankful for the assistive technology that allows me to travel and still work and still connect and still be doing things like this podcast. But I have the ability and the right currently to use it or not use it, turn it on or turn it off. I can unplug for a weekend or a week or a month and go live on a farm if I want to, you know, in an unplugged way.
Yeah, we're not saying to totally stop progress, because look at me, I'm all for exploring, and let's see if we can get to Mars. I'm all for that.
Yeah,
you know, and that's progress. But
I think,
you know,
if you had and that's the thing I think is really cool about AI. If you program it in a way to where it's focused strictly on like space travel and the ability to move and close to the speed of light, I don't think we'll ever reach it. I hear kind of to that Einstein theory that you'd probably just you'd break down your molecular structure if you did, but I think AI would be the one that'd get us there. In the near future.
Yeah. Gina says they're talking about using more automated customer service chatbots to get rid of the human connection. So there is one avenue that I think it's gone way too far.
Yeah.
Those drive me absolutely bonkers. You cannot get any good answer, correct assistance, or anything useful out of chatbots at all from any company. And the phone trees are horrible too. And right now in the state of Oregon, you cannot call the Secretary of State. If you need to do work that involves the Secretary of State, the Notary Division, the business division that licenses all businesses in Oregon, they have currently turned off all calling. You can only reach them by email.
Yeah, see, that, yeah. And in my opinion, trying to do away with that personal, that personal human connection is bad. That's bad. I don't know how many times I've tried to call Comcast and I get stuck in there, you know, in that revolving door of, you know, automated answering system. And it's like, all I want is to talk to someone. Just
because
someone,
the someone could fix
answer.
Your problem in 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But it takes you 3 days to try to get a computer to even understand what you're asking. It's actually, you know, computers are supposed to make things faster and easier and more streamlined. And in some places, like these customer service areas, it makes it longer and more drawn out and more difficult.
Well, see, and that's what I'm talking about, where the computer system doesn't have instinct. It doesn't have instinct. It can't, you know, there's no gut feeling. It's like when I called Comcast, I called them for years about my Wi-Fi system here. And they kept saying, you know, the computer, unplug this, unplug that, do this. Are you doing this? Are you doing this? It's like, I just give up and hang up. Finally, yeah. I finally get to a technician and I explain to him and he goes, oh, well, what you need is you need to hardwire your computer to the modem. Where you hardwire your computer to your modem, do away with Wi-Fi, just hardwire it in, you'll solve your problems. And it took all but 5 minutes for him to tell me that. And a computer, when a computer's not going to say that. The computer doesn't have that instinct, you know, to hear your problem and to weigh it out and go, okay, well, listen. Oh, you know what? How about trying this? You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
well, another instance of customer service. I just ordered a personal portable blender called a BlendJet because it's USB rechargeable and it's tiny. It's like a 16 ounce canister. It's good for traveling. It's good for RV traveling. I wanted it in time for when I was leaving California to come to Arizona. So I ordered it right around Christmas. It was 2-day shipping. And they, but here's the thing. 2-day shipping doesn't start until they get your product to the shipper. And they didn't get my product to the shipper for 9 days. It finally shipped 2 days ago, and I'm already in Arizona, and now I won't have it for this 2-month trip that I'm on. Mm-hmm. Unless I have somebody spend money to forward it to me at a mailbox where I am. But I tried to call the company. There is no phone customer service at all. You have to email them. I emailed them three times.
Whatever happened to talking to humans?
Exactly. You know? Well, and when I email them three times, I get the pat computerized answer back. Your order is in processing and please check back and please follow the text alerts. Well, that doesn't answer my question. Where the heck is it and why is it not in process to the shipper yet? They didn't even make the shipping label until 4 days after the order. No answer. I get three automated emails back.
And all it takes is a human to get on the phone and go, just a second, click, click, click. Oh yeah. It's in Denver right now. Let me see if I can get them to ship that to you. Let's go. You know? Yeah. I totally know what you're talking about there. So
Redneck says first world problems. And that is true. Yes, that is true. There is really nothing to complain about because do I need it at this moment? No. Will I starve without it? No. Will I be just fine to have it in 8 weeks? Yes. But it's another instance of automation causing more trouble than just having a human answer your question would have been.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, how many people is that automated service put out of work? I mean, we're talking about jobs. I mean, what happened to the person that just used to answer the phone? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I direct your phone? How can I direct your call? I think it would save more headaches and heartaches and complaints if a company would go back to just having someone answer their phones instead of letting the computer do it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is fun actually about AI is some of the idea generation that you can do. It can't, you know, there's actual writing programs now that you can have write blog posts and whatnot. And if you read certain blogs, you can tell that, you know, some computer wrote those and a human didn't even attempt to make it more interesting or correct or whatever, because they're grammatical errors and things. But you can use those for idea generation. Much the same way that you can play chess with a computer, you can use writing prompts that help you kind of, you know, get the creative juices flowing. I think those are fun.
Well, and I like the idea of instant information. I mean, if you're looking for something and you need some information now, just with a few clicks of your computer, you know, bam, next thing you know, you've got the information you need. You know, I don't have a problem with that.
Dreadnought says brand name generator is the bomb. Well, one of the things I was alluding to there that I didn't spell out is SEO generators are in that, you know, idea generating. Yeah. And that's nice because that you're using the computer to generate some text that the computer is going to recognize. And I think that is a useful tool.
It's like if you build a website, you plug in SEO words, which is search engine optimization, to draw people to your website. Say like you go into Google and say, okay, I want some clothes. So you put in, I want a dress. So if someone for that website, such as like mine, you look up and you put all these search engine optimization words. So when someone goes to Google it, it'll draw you to your website or to that Google result.
Right. Well,
but isn't that the same? Isn't that the same kind of thing that for keywords, and then next thing you know, they're shutting people down because of what they're saying?
Well, so for instance, PodPage, when I do the blog post on PodPage, which I'm far behind on, I didn't do any for December. Isn't that crazy? When you do that post, there is a one segment of posting that requires you to put in your SEO tag and your SEO content. And because I don't always know what I want to say, I have consulted an SEO generator, and you just take a piece of what you've written in your post and you plug it in, and it tells you what you should use for the SEO tag and the SEO content description.
Hey, we got Shep on the line. I want to hear what Shep has to say. Shep, what's up?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I was just saying, I think, you know, with AI, like, you know, basic AI, I think it's highly beneficial in many areas. You mentioned the coal miners. Any high hazardous job, I think that it would be great to have machines doing it. But the only thing that I can argue on everything I'm going to say is taking away jobs from people. And that's never a good thing. It will create other jobs that don't exist right now, but I don't think the ratio will be anywhere close to the ones they take away. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, like, car manufacturers, right? And even more advanced types of welding that is needed. There are skilled welders out there that get paid a very, very handsome sum of money to be able to have the skill set that they have. But these robots can do it. And it's a one-time, you know, investment. They're probably millions of dollars, this equipment. But it's always going to be a flawless weld unless some man, you know, malfunctions to the point where SpaceX, with all the Starship prototypes that they're busting out, it's all machine welding, robotic welding. And I think with that, it's a good thing for being able to advance in whatever industry they need to build better quality structures. I would think they'd be safer. Welding is one of them things where it can take you need a microscope to really see if there's any imperfections to the point where it could fatigue a lot earlier than it's supposed to. So I don't know. I mean, those are just two like stupid things.
Shep, about that.
Hold on a second, yeah. Sean. Hold on a second. I got a comment. Shep, I hear what you're saying about the imperfections, but I'm so good at my job, I can go in there and lay hands on it and tell you if it's a good weld or not. It's a joke. It's a joke.
No. But that's like the point that I'm trying to make is that I feel that if you know, you were quality control in, you know, pretty big industry where you were, I would imagine, had a, you know, a compensation that was worth your skill set. But for people the amount of people that can do what you do or have that skill set versus, you know, literally working in an assembly line, busting out, I don't know how many robots a day or a month, and just always being able to update the programming and stuff. It's just, you know, it outweighs the amount of people that are going to be able to do that. And it's going to save companies a lot of money. Not to have to pay those salaries to the people who have those skill sets, which is it's sad, but it's, you know, it is what it is.
You're going to see a change in school curriculums. You're going to see, instead of going back to history, more computer program, computer science, AI tech, from coders. That's why there's been a huge push from AT&T for coders, 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 coders. And you're always going to have those nefarious ones that know how to hack. That is the biggest problem we have on Earth right now, probably, is
cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity.
Well, absolutely. that's a big growing field too. I have a family member that went into that and was getting a degree in cybersecurity. And the more we create technologically, the more possibility that somebody can sabotage it. But I was thinking about the quality issue. You know, we have more and more and more automation, and we have lower and lower quality products being produced. Things you have planned obsolescence, of course, which means
right.
They make things to a lower standard, a lower quality, so that they'll break, so that you have to spend the money again, so that you continue the consumer need for products. But what do you think about that, Shep, in the realm of welding? Because I think a lot of what they're doing is they're using less of the raw material. So in their weld, they wouldn't be using the same level of metal content or the same ratio of all the different metals content that they were used to use. So
right.
Do you think quality suffers, even though now we've got this more precision possibility?
I think it suffers due to the company not wanting to invest in the materials and the raw materials needed to build the same way that we were building with, you know, the expression, they don't build them like they used to. But I think that's also a big money driven thing, other than, you know, because the robot can do it without the right materials better than somebody else could. You know, I don't really know much about welding. I just know that certain metals, you know, have to be welded different ways, different heats and all that, you know, all that stuff.
That's why everything's in the in industry, in the manufacturing industry of your steels and all this and that. That's why everything has to be done in accordance to codes and specifications. It doesn't matter if the computer's welding it or a man's welding it. All the parameters still have to be maintained. All the material properties still have to be maintained. So that's what I was saying when I meant earlier, that you can get all the computers to do whatever you want, but there's still got to be a guy standing there looking at the code, looking at the specifications,
right.
And
yes.
Judging if that work is acceptable or not.
Yeah, same thing with machining, with CNC machines and all that stuff. You know, it's right now, I believe people are inputting all the commands and just for whatever it needs, you know, the thing to machine. But as Russ had stated earlier, as far as if they ever, you know, get to a point where AI is going to be allowed to have access to all of these resources, it will be able to just constantly improve it on itself. I think that's like the, you know, I don't really do this conversation justice because I don't know much about it. I'm interested as heck in it. I think it's amazing. But the planned obsolescence thing, I think it's funny too. I don't know if it's true or if it's a conspiracy, but with the light bulb, I mean, back in the original years that the light bulb was invented, some kind of mafia or whatever, but all these companies got together because they were able to build light bulbs, you know, better and better, better filament material. They would burn longer, last longer, but it was going to hurt their, you know, their revenue. So they opted to stick within a certain, quality of tungsten, I believe is what they use in incandescent light bulbs.
Well, and that's the same thing that happened with electricity itself.
What's that?
They chose the kind of electricity that we use over perpetual electricity, that the technology that existed, because you couldn't charge people for the free technology that was, you know, the other discovery.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, there's such that, but I mean, would that hurt an economy? Would that drive economy? I don't know how that all fits into it. As far as, you know, having that planned obsolescence or not, because like, you know, let's just say for instance, something like cell phones, right? We all got one. And I had to upgrade because I cracked my screen where like the screen itself was shot. I couldn't see what was on the screen, and I had to either dish out like $200 to fix it or $200 and change to get like a new flagship top of the line phone. But I don't feel that they're making improvements in smartphones that are really justifying the need to buy one every year. I don't know.
And they tend to die right at the time that they're supposed to. You get about 2 years yep. out of one, and then they're dead. And you know, from a litter standpoint and from a sustainable global trash standpoint, you know, they're always saying that people are contributing to the downfall of the globe because of our overconsumption and use. But aren't manufacturers the ones contributing? We consumers are not contributing any more than we have to. If my phone lasted 10 years, I would keep it for 10 years. They make it so that it doesn't last 10 years and I have to get a new one every two. My charging port just went out on mine, and because it was crackling like a plastic bag on the podcast, and because I could no longer charge it with my cord, I had to get a replacement phone because they wouldn't replace that part.
Okay, I have something to add. I know I plugged in the numbers of exactly how many predicted jobs that AI could take over, this automation, 37 million. There's only 157 million people in the workforce right now. You divide that by that is 4.24. Imagine a quarter of our entire workforce out of jobs. AI programs and automated systems do not pay taxes.
Well,
our taxes
then
is what makes this country run.
Will, yeah.
Exactly. That's why the big push for socialism. God,
right.
You are so on top of it, Shonda.
Because now it'll
Love
swoop
you.
In and give everybody the universal
yes.
income, and now here we are.
Yes.
That's exactly. Why we call her the professor right there.
Oh, agenda.
You were probably going there, and I interrupted. I apologize.
Well, no. Great minds think alike, baby. we got to talk.
Hey, what a great topic. What a great topic that this has been. We're going to need to wrap this up a little bit.
So hang on, I have one more thing to point.
Okay.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
And it's not so much about the AI, but it's about the quality of things being manufactured by robots and computers that are programmed by humans. The most visible thing that I can think of that people use probably every day is the individual 16-ounce plastic water bottle.
Yes. Yep.
Think about how thick the plastic used to be.
Yep.
And how thick the plastic is now. Some of these water bottles are so thin now that you can't even set it down without it falling over. And you can't open the lid without spilling it out because
squeezing
it makes the water come out the top.
Exactly.
Reminds me of those Kool-Aid twist-off things, the juices when I was a kid. It's just like, it was like almost like wax.
It's easier to drink, man. You got to drink it as soon as you open it.
So wow, they keep skimping and skimping and skimping. They take technology to do our jobs, and they're not putting the money they're saving back into the product. Mm-hmm. Where's that money going?
Yes.
In their pockets.
Exactly. Where's accountability for all this?
In the pocketbook.
Billions of dollars. Yeah. And that's another thing. And we are so used to hearing the number billion. We're so used to hearing the number billion. You know, that we don't even blink an eye at it anymore. And now they're doing the same thing with trillion.
Yeah.
You know, they're forcing these astronomical amounts of money down our throats. And we're being blinded to everything. We used to be upset if stuff cost, like if the government wanted, you know, $150 million. We'd like, what? You're out of your mind. That's so much money. But now they're asking for $1.7 trillion. And we don't even bat an eye. But that's another show. Thank you, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Shep, for coming in.
Yeah, Shep. Thanks, man. Thanks
and
for coming
Russ
in.
And Eric.
What a great Absolutely. What a great time. Great topic.
Well,
hey, I want to make sure I turn this over to Eric so he can tell us about the upcoming trivia contest that we got going. All right, Eric.
Yes. Well, I know coming up on Friday, you know, new and returning friends of the Old Man's Podcast Show are invited to join us as we kick off the January Trivia Contest. And the category for the trivia question will be literature. So when you join us Friday, I'll be reading the question on the air. And it's as tempting as it may be, we ask that you not post your answers in chat. We ask that instead you email your trivia answers along with your name to theoldmanspodcast@gmail.com. And the deadline to submit your entries will be next Thursday, January 19th at midnight, 12 a.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Pacific. And the correct answer submitted will be eligible to take part in a drawing. And the lucky winner will be drawn on Friday,
January 20th, and that lucky winner is eligible to receive a $50 gift certificate to Glowflow Denver. And I know we missed J-Baby today, but hopefully she'll be joining us again tomorrow. But and of course, speaking of tomorrow, we'll have Russ joining us, and then Shannon will be back on Wednesday. And coming up on Podbean today and this week, you'll have the It's Doomsday podcast live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And hopefully we might have the Beans and Weenie show on tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And throughout the day today, you'll have Duke James and Milk Dog and a host of other friends. And you'll also later in the week have on Wednesday the Misplaced Comedy Group's Potluck podcast, Psych 82 Alpha, Low Standards and Pores, and This Swap Doesn't Lie, and a host of other friends.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for that, Eric. Thanks a lot. And before we get out of here, Russ, you got anything you want to share with everybody?
Grab yourself
any warnings about AI?
No, just grab a Mountain Dew and a moon pie and everything will be all right.
I know we'll be seeing you on later too, Russ.
Yes, sir.
Shannon, got anything you want to share with everybody?
Just say no to robots, please. And until next time, entertain your own dang self. Yeah, great topic.
Thank you. Professor, what an excellent show. Thank you very much. You got any last words for everybody, Shonda, before we're out of here?
I really enjoyed today's show. I want to thank everybody for contributing, and I think it was a great topic. I would like everyone to go out and enjoy a sunset like no robot can, and do something real. Do things that only humans can do, and enjoy the ability to do that. I'll see you next time.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It has been awesome. You guys are a great group of people. I want to appreciate all our listeners out there and all our followers. If you're new to the show and you haven't done it yet, or you've been listening for a while and you haven't done it, hit that follow button and give us a follow. We appreciate it. And come on back. We're here Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern. We're your anti-anger, anti-hate. Grab a coffee and let's chit chat about anything and everything that's interesting and non-confrontational or family friendly, safe for work, easy going, clean podcast on a mission. And that mission is to put a smile on your face, a laugh in your heart, and a skip in your step. We just appreciate you all coming in. We appreciate all the support. You guys are awesome. We wouldn't be where we're at or what we are today without the support of all you people listening and all our followers. So thank you very much. I just appreciate it, man. What a great topic. I hope we stirred your brain. I hope we stirred you thinking. You know, be thinking about stuff, think about stuff, research, look at it. Don't take our word for anything. You know, look for it yourself and research it all out. And you know, just be aware of what's going on. You know, you can't trust Don't trust the computers and don't trust the people programming them. That's all I got to say right there. Yeah. What a great thing.
Well,
all
right. And friends are invited to join us Friday for our Promote Your Podcast today. You know, hopefully we can get some friends from Twitter Spaces here as well as some other Podbean friends and even friends who do podcasts on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Rumble.
Yeah, keep your eye out for Van Life Pantry Podcast, The Johnny Taco Show. What a great show. Johnny Taco Show. Check them out. Amber May Podcast. Stewie Griffin on Sunday mornings. Opinionated Lushes. Check out their YouTube channel. Foolish Thoughts by a Fool for Learning. Check him out. Check Joseph out. Check out the Two Old Farts Podcast. Those guys are funny. That's a dad and a son podcast. They're good people. And then our Super Had Not, H-A-D-N-O-T, Super Had Not Bros Podcast on YouTube. They're funny. Check them out. And then, of course, always be on the outlook for Underground Shuffle Podcast. Marty 773, our good friends. Make sure you keep an eye out for them and check out their podcast. Go to their webpage. Go to our webpage, www.theoldmanspodcast.com, and get caught up on your episodes. We have a vast library of episodes you can listen to. Reach Shonda's blogs that she has posted there. Just check it out. Give us a review. Give us a comment. Email us at theoldmanspodcast@gmail.com. And just have a blast. Get out there and do some fun things and just enjoy life. All right, we're out of here. Appreciate everybody coming in. Shonda, Shannon, Russ, Especially you, Captain Eric. Thank you all.
Absolutely.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Well, we'll see you next time.
Later, Gators.
Later.
See you.